Hide and Seek for Love. Written by Barbara Cartland. Narrated by Anthony Wren. Chapter 1, 1872. A bearded and disreputable figure in the tattered dress of a Muslim holy man moved into the deserted cave with a sigh of relief. He had been walking for miles and was desperately tired. At the same time, he knew that he had to climb out of sight before he was observed. He looked around the large cave. He realized that if he climbed to the far end of it, he would not only be well out of sight, but also above the people coming after him, who he wanted to overhear. He was, in fact, a British officer, Captain David Ingle of the 6th Bengal Native Cavalry Regiment. Like many other officers, he had joined what was considered the most exciting, but dangerous, secret service in the whole world. During the last 12 years, British intelligence had realized that the Russian Empire was expanding to take over the small caravan towns and the Muslim Khanates that lay between their southern border and the frontier of northern India. One by one, they were falling to the fearsome Cossacks who always spearheaded the advance of the Russian troops. In 1865, the great walled city of Tashkent had been forced to submit humbly to the Tsar, and 3 years later it was the turn of Samarkand and Bokhara to face humiliation and defeat. Now the Russians were creeping closer and closer to India's weakly guarded northwest frontier and British Empire territory. Despite the Tsar's repeated assurance that he and the Russians had no hostile intentions towards India, the British, both at home and in India, were becoming increasingly concerned. It was already known that several of the Tsar's most able generals had drawn up a plan of invasion. As the threat to the British Empire intensified more and more, young officers were prepared to risk their lives. In fact, quite a number of them had already died. They undertook increasingly dangerous journeys in disguise to report on Russian movements, as well as to try to win over the allegiance of weak and suspicious Khans. A large number of the players in this strange secret struggle, often referred to as the Great Game, were professionals, Indian army officers, and the political agents sent by their superiors in Calcutta to glean information of every kind. But some were volunteers, and these amateurs were no less capable. Disguised as Muslim holy men and Buddhist pilgrims, they had succeeded in secretly mapping thousands of square acres of previously unexplored territory. David Ingle had jumped at the chance of joining the Great Game just a year after he had proved himself an excellent soldier. Although still a young man, he was already on the list of officers selected for early promotion. He had the reputation for being extremely lucky, and he brought information back to headquarters that they had never been able to obtain through anyone else. For him, it was an excitement he enjoyed more than anything else. He had wisely learned to speak Urdu fluently and picked up sufficient Russian to understand what his enemies were saying if he was able to make any form of contact with them. From what he had seen and heard on his missions, he was even more convinced than the Viceroy himself that India was in great danger. It required intense planning and far more attention than those at home were giving it if India was to be saved. Now he climbed up to the roof of the cave, knowing that if discovered, he would undoubtedly die. Worse still, he could be tortured before his head would finally be chopped from his body. He knew that the Russians were ruthless and would show no mercy to an enemy. He had been recruited to watch the Russian cavalry and was currently concerned with what was happening at Fort Tibi, a fort on India's northwest frontier, named after the village that originally stood there before the frontier became a battleground. It was during a mission to several small independent states lying to the northwest, collectively known as Sindh, that David had become suspicious that something sinister was being planned against Fort Tibi. So, instead of moving on to his intended destination, he had hastily doubled back.